You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. If you want to talk here on ESPN 97.5. I'm looking at this from Texans Thoughts. The 49ers, Rams, and Vikings have all realized something that the Texans have not. Top offensive masterminds are adapting, while Nick Casario is still trying to find his next Tom Brady. You think that, well, we'll see how Stafford does with the Rams. We'll see, you know, whether, you know, the 49ers can develop a guy that needs a lot of development. I don't know about the Vikings with Kellen Mond. We'll see. I don't know. Is Kellen Mond the future with the Vikings? Why is that third rounder okay, but the Texans' third rounder is not?
Because I guess he wasn't your first pick of the draft, I guess.
What does that have to do? What's the difference?
I think for people it's an easier thing to swallow, development of quarterback, when you already have an established, whatever you think of Kirk Cousins, he's been a guy who's at least led them to the playoffs. We know when the Vikings are in a better position, and they're saying, you know what, let's take a shot, and we're not devoid of picks to do it. I think that would be the only reason, and it's a reasonable thing to do. Let's see if we can find a guy in the third round. When the Texans are like, huh, it's your first pick, and you need all this help, and you take that guy? And Kellen Mond's played 4 years. Whatever you think of Kellen Mond, there's you've seen improvement throughout his career, whereas Davis Mills, there are so many questions about him because he hasn't played very much.
Well, there's questions about Mond.
Well, yeah, but there's a difference between a guy who's, you know, step-by-step improved, and sure, there are questions. That's why he's a third-round pick. Davis Mills has played very little football.
Well, but this is also, so they got a picture of each of the quarterbacks. They got Sean McVay with Stafford. They've got Kellen Mond, his host. They got Shanahan and Lance together. And then they got Casario.
Well, they're not going to put David Culley on there.
No, not Culley, but Tim Kelly or Pep Hamilton. That's the guy that's going to be developing the quarterback.
Sorry, it doesn't. No one knows who those guys are, John.
Well, no, but yeah,
It doesn't make good for a graphic if you can't identify the guy on the graphic.
No. Well, it's with the Vikings. It's is it Kubiak's son? Who is that?
I don't know. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Looks like a bunch of white guys to me. I don't know who it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's put the guy that's going to, Casario ain't developing him. Okay. Shanahan's going to develop Lance, and McVay's going to work with Stafford and Mond. And
is Culley going to develop anyone?
Culley's not, but Pep Hamilton and Tim Kelly are.
We'll see.
Those are the guys that are going to develop him. No, Culley's not doing nothing. Just stand over there for
a while.
That's
not a way you talk to the head coach. Just stand over there for a while. Coach. The fact that I can consider that being a serious thing is a problem.
Listen, after I've seen David Culley with the Chiefs wide receivers that didn't catch a touchdown pass for a season, which was unbelievable, and that's who he coached, and he was the passing game coordinator for Baltimore when they sucked at passing game. Do you want David Culley involved in this offense? No. Let Pep Hamilton and Tim Kelly do what they do.
I think
Tim Kelly proved himself last year.
As I'm trying to peruse through this Texans, you can find it at TexansUnfiltered.com, the website. It looks like it's just about, you know, guys who have had one type of quarterback, not simply sticking with it. And he's just saying Casario saw Tom Brady in New England.
And that's what he's looking
and
for.
And he's drafting another guy like that.
Right. Well, we'll find out. I mean, maybe he just threw some up against the wall to see if it sticks. Listen, I probably disagree wholeheartedly, you know, with Paulson Adebo there and some other players that would have been, you know, that could actually be on the football field as opposed to taking Davis Mills. You know, is it true what Ian Rappaport said that maybe Lance didn't think so. Lance thought this was a pretty damn good draft and deep draft, that there was talent in that third. We'll find out if players behind Davis Mills can play. We'll see if Paulson Adebo turns out to be a, and he was sitting there and he turns out to be a really good player when you needed corner, then you know what? And Davis Mills III just sits this year, and then you got to make a decision on a quarterback with your first pick next year. It was a huge miss.
The problem with the Texans are they're so devoid of talent that any player that gets picked behind Davis Mills who plays well, you can point to and go, they should have picked that guy.
Yeah.
It's not like they're full of guys and cornerback was the only issue.
No.
There are going to be plenty of guys behind him who play well in their first or second year.
Name a position that the Texans couldn't use a player.
Exactly. So anyone who's has a negative feeling about the pick and Nick Caserio will be like, well, wow, that defensive end really played well. Well, there are going to be a lot of positions and a lot of guys who played well who they could have picked. The question is, 2 years from now, will we not care because Davis Mills is really good?
Well, we got to find that out this year, don't we? Because
there needs to be a coherent plan.
Because they're going to be picking very early, and they're going to have to pick a quarterback.
I think they should
unless they see unbelievable things out of Davis Mills.
I don't know how you will. The team is not very good. Look, as great as Deshaun was, the old standbys, they still won 4 games. This is a lesser talented team, and Davis Mills is nowhere near the talent as Deshaun is. So no matter what they'll see as football coaches and look at it as a positive, I don't think there's going to be so glaring that people say, don't take a quarterback.
Well, no, now we don't know. Crazier things have happened than Davis Mills having a great rookie year.
It'll be pretty crazy. When's he going to start?
He's got to have to start pretty soon. 4, 5, 6, week 6, whatever.
I think you can look at – the only reason I would care about the schedule being released tomorrow for the Texans is knowing that bye week is. Because that's when generally those things happen. Yeah. That bye week is earlier than you'd like. You're probably not going to see him. But if it's like week 7, week 8, you'd probably see him after that bye week. Particularly if the record's terrible.
Yeah, it depends on where they are record-wise.
Yeah.
Depends. You know, early on – God forbid they get a favorable schedule. They actually win a few games early. Let's say they have an early bye, and you're like, no, we're going okay with Terod. Let's just keep it going.
Will he be
and then
active?
Lose 12 straight games?
Which is very possible. When will he be active? You think he's active week 1?
Probably not. Yes, probably not. I don't know. Ryan Finley.
They traded for him.
Huh?
It's not like they didn't trade for him.
Ryan Finley? Are you kidding me?
And right.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. By the way, Ryan Finley, better pedigree than Davis Mills as far as a college football player. I know you're like, Ryan Finley. Ryan Finley was a better college football player than Davis Mills. Sorry to break that to you. And he was, and by the way,
he beat you too as a pro.
Yeah, he was a 4th round pick. It wasn't like he got drafted in the 6th round. He got picked in the 4th round.
Yeah, but Davis Mills was a 3rd rounder, so better pedigree.
No.
Yeah.
As a college football player, the better pedigree goes to Ryan Finley.
Who's the smarter kid?
I don't know.
Obviously, the Stanford kid. Yeah, obviously.
Wasn't smart enough to turn the Texans off. He should have been smart enough. Sorry, guys. He should have been. I'm not one of your guys. Let someone else pick me.
No, are you kidding me? Davis Mills is perfect for the Houston Texans.
I'm just looking. Ryan Finley played
big,
5.
Strong, good-looking white guy.
Oh, okay.
Are you kidding?
Finley was good enough to not good enough, but he found a way to play 5 years of college football. Not complete, but he played for Boise for 2 years and North Carolina State for 3. He was a better college player. And don't go just Ryan Finley. He's a better player in college than Davis Mills was.
Shut your mouth.
I'm sorry. It is what it is.
Got a filthy whore mouth.
Sounds like you have an HR problem on your hands.
I do have an HR problem right here.
He talked about my whore mouth.
I got an HR problem.
I have the problem. He talked about my whore mouth.
HR and P. That's right. That's a filthy whore mouth. And HR and P should be calling you, okay, with your mouth, with your attitude about Ryan Finley being better than Davis Mills III. Oh, gosh. What if he's right? Here's the deal, though. Right, wrong, or indifferent, you got to handle HR the right way. And HR and P, love those people. Love Mike and Chris and Plotkin and Kevin and everybody over there. You guys are just great. They're just great people. And here's the deal is Kevin will come to your business or whomever They'll come to your business. They'll ask you questions. They will break it down exactly what you need for your business, and then they'll come to you with a quote. Not everybody is the same. If you have a business that has 20 employees and another business has 1,000 employees, obviously it's going to be different. It's not cookie cutter. So they customize the plan for your business, exactly what you need. They've seen it all. They've done it all. It doesn't matter if you have branches in other states. They take care of that business. They're experts in the Affordable Care Act, which you need. And if your payroll company isn't taking care of you and all of your needs with the PPPs and the Affordable Care Act and everything else that's going on in this crazy business time, you go with HRP.net. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Texags, Billy Lucci has announced that David Nuno is going to join Texags as Director of Broadcast Media and host of Texags Radio on July 6th. David is leaving ABC 13 and headed up to College Station. I talked to him about it a little while ago, maybe about a month ago or so. It's an odd move to be leaving an ABC affiliate in a major city to go to a smaller market and do radio when, in fact, you are wanted at the television station. And David Nuno was a valued employee there. But it's for he wants to do it for family reasons. I think they like, and I know it. He said it. We want to live in a smaller place, be able to spend more time. They'll have more time to spend with the kids. He'll be able to go to their games and stuff. It's an odd move career wise, but it is best of luck to David and the whole family.
His official title, Director of Broadcast Media. I don't know exactly what that entails. I'm on the website right now, trying to figure out responsibilities are. Well, I know. Does Texags has a video component as well, don't they?
Yeah, we saw Billy Lucci. Yeah, I saw Billy Lucci yesterday with his mullet.
Well, he was at his home doing that.
Yeah, but I was like, Lucci, he looks sick, first of all, because he lost a bunch of weight. And then he's so sick he can't go get his hair cut. Go get your hair cut, Lucci. What the hell? I mean, that's bad what you got going on there.
Man,
this is from the guy that's got...
You got a ducktail going. And the quote is, I am coming home, David Nuno, a true blue Aggie. I don't know if he wouldn't be considered a two percenter, right? Is he all in on all the traditions and stuff? Or is he a two percenter?
He loves the Aggies.
I know, but
we should get him on.
Does he do the swaying of and all that?
Yeah,
he grabs his
nuts and everything.
Does he make out with one of the core? What does he do?
No. With his wife.
But when he was a young Aggie, did he get grabbed by one of those guys?
I don't think David Nuno with his germ thing. I don't think he was just making out with anybody.
Yeah.
No, they don't make out with the core. That's not what they do. The white pants
they
on
don't
or
just
whatever.
Grab that guy. They don't just grab the person next to them and make out with them no matter what. Isn't that what they do there?
No, that's the last thing that happens at College Station.
That's why I made the joke.
Okay? That never
happened. There some dudes in there, like, maybe not those cheerleaders, but the dudes who stand up with the bad haircuts, don't they just grab the person next to them and think great things happen on the field and make out with someone?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're standing next to them, you're just the person in line. Sorry.
I don't think that's what David's doing. Oh. Ever did.
Well, I mean, you don't know. You weren't there.
No, I wasn't there, but I can pretty much.
You should call him and bring him on and ask him. That's your first question. Did you make out with those dudes when you scored touchdowns?
When you people score a touchdown.
Did some core member grab you because you're the first person next to him and make out with you?
Is that what happens, David?
Yeah. Well, he'll get to cover that up close. And he's actually going there, well, as far as at least football-wise, and they're always a good baseball program, I guess. But he's going there for a good time for football.
We should get him on.
Can't be more excited.
Let's get him on. You know we are the station for the Aggies,
right? Yeah, he should be joining us weekly.
He should be.
Or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
It might be bi-weekly if he also does the football coaches show.
That's true. He may be
He could be on your show. And then
yeah, he may be the host of that. I wonder. I wonder if that's someone who's actually employed by A&M or does TexAgs do that? I don't remember how that works.
Lately, who's their play-by-play guy?
Not Dave South, the new guy?
No, yeah. The new guy. The other guy.
The other guy?
The new guy.
I call him not Dave South.
Yeah, I think that's it. That is his name, actually.
I'll look it up. It's that guy.
Okay.
Does he do the Polacek sausage?
What's it called again? Polisic?
No,
Christian Pulisic sausage.
No, what is
Polacek or what's it called?
Yeah, what are they?
Aggies are going nuts now.
Aggies are pissed at us. We don't know your tradition. Sorry.
Yeah,
don't you just make out with anybody next to you?
Polacek, Polashek, Slovacek. Is that what it's called?
Slovacek. That's what it is.
Polacek,
Slovacek,
Slovacek sausage. Yeah. I don't know what they do, but congratulations to David Nuno. Always an Aggie. Now your kids will be indoctrinated, so that should be wonderful for them as well.
Yeah.
Going to games, swaying.
Yeah.
Great.
Damn, I just sent him the wrong number. 713-780.
He should know it. He was here for a long time.
He was.
You don't know the hot. You got to give the hotline number.
No, why? It's wide open. Well, what's the difference?
I'm just saying, at some point, though.
Yeah. Don't worry. He, you know what? That the guy that's calling right now, that's him. Let's get him in here. We got to find out whether or not if that's what
he did. Is that his indoctrination now that he's back? Maybe he didn't do it at the time, but to make sure he's true blue, you got to make out the core, right?
Yeah.
Is that how do you become – what's the indoctrination at TexAgs? That's what I want to know.
Do you have to make out with Billy Lucci?
I don't think Billy's going to be down for that.
Is that what you got to do?
Are we throwing him on? Put him on right now?
Is that him?
Let's go.
Sure.
Let's ask him. All right. David Nuno, welcome to the show. What's going on?
This is so awkward. I'm talking to my old boss, who is married to my current boss, and I'm going to another place. This is very awkward. Hello.
What's going on, pal? How are you?
I'm good, man. Excited. Happy to hear you guys. And I miss my family there at the mothership.
Yeah, we miss you, too. So we were just talking about your move. It's been announced now, the big announcement. Dell broke the news anyway. Was it yesterday or today?
I thought it was well known already, okay. And I said it out loud yesterday.
Yesterday.
At the end of a segment.
And so I was like, well, I'm not sure that that's public knowledge, but okay. So David's going to TexAgs. Now, we were asking, like, when you were a student there, like, if you didn't have a date, did you just make out when you scored a touchdown? Did you just make out with anybody who was next to you? What'd you do?
Luckily, I've been with Elizabeth since I was like 12 years old, guys. So I made out with her quite often there. And when I was there, I don't remember a lot of touchdowns being scored except in 1995. After that, not too much.
And after that, there wasn't not that many. And so you always had Elizabeth. That was nice. That's nice. So you didn't just – we don't know what the tradition is. You just grab anybody, whoever.
I thought someone from the core grabbed you at some point.
He thought one of the guys in them white jumpsuits.
The dudes in the brown with the bad haircuts.
Those guys.
Yeah, not the guys. Not the cheerleaders.
Oh, see, we don't know nothing about it.
I can't wait to invite Dell.
Oh, yeah, I'd be well liked there. All the jokes I'd make. I'm sure they'd appreciate me just laughing at them the entire time.
Dell ain't going there. There's other people. He doesn't want to go anywhere where there's other people.
I'm not interested. I like the Aggies. I want to see them duo, but I'm not interested in being around them.
Especially a whole stadium of them. Yeah. Dell, you think Dell wants to go and saw Varsity's horns off with people, swaying back and forth? He's got to touch people. He ain't doing that.
That's out of bounds.
So, so congratulations. We think it's not your normal move.
John brought it on like, man, this is weird, but congratulations.
No, it's not a normal move. Leaving a ABC affiliate in a major market to go to do some radio and internet work for a much smaller market. It's just not a normal move, but this is what you wanted to do.
Yeah, so a couple things. First off, I'm always Channel 13, ABC 13 for life. Not only did I watch it growing up, I still hope to be affiliated with them. for a long time. But my kids are growing up too fast, and you'll remember back at the old 1560, the twins were born while we were doing a broadcast, right? Sean and John announced it on the air, and they're about to be 13. So my time is just going fast, and I just want to be there. And when you work in local news, you work a lot of nights, you work a lot of evenings, you work a lot of holidays, and I just kind of look at the time that I have left with the twins before they move on to college, and I was like, I need to be around. I had the best job in the world working at 13, but I just needed a little bit more nights and just a little more balance. And, you know, Elizabeth and I prayed on it for a while, and Lucha and I have been talking about this since 2009, and it just became a reality recently.
That's great.
On the website, you're listed as, well, at least part of the article announcing your move, your title is Director of Broadcast Media. John said they just make up titles for things, because that's what John does. What officially will be your responsibilities there?
I'll be helping create content, and I will be, I guess, in charge of the post-game show and the morning show, and just helping facilitate A&M information. And, we'll be doing a morning show. We'll be doing a post-game show. It's going to be great. And the X, hopefully, will have a good year. I mean, there's a lot of excitement level there, and I think I'm joining that community at the right time.
Yeah, no. Hey, top five. Hey, Longhorn Scott, suck on that. They got David Nuno, and they finished top five. How's that taste?
Is this a four-star commit? Is what you think?
Yeah, David Nuno is a five-star.
Let's see what he does on the field first.
I'm more like Coach Fran when he got the A&M guys. A lot of hype, but then they're going to realize, no,
that's not a good.
You don't do that. don't be that. Please no. Don't be that. So did you see what? Do you see, Dell?
What?
This is about family. This is what you do for your family because you love them.
Uh-huh.
You cherish them. You want to spend time with them.
Understood.
So why don't you start having a family so that you can actually love and cherish people?
Well, you should ask David your question about family from yesterday.
Oh,
what would
first
he do
wife?
To save his family?
No.
He chose to move to College Station to see his boys. You said you'd do coke to save your family.
Asked me, would you do coke to save my family? The answer is yes.
He made it not from death. It wasn't about certain death. I was like, would you keep your family together? Would you do coke?
Yes. Okay, yes. The answer is yes. So I would do anything for my family to keep them. No, almost anything.
You wouldn't move to College Station for him, though.
No, but I'd do some coke.
Yeah, I know you would.
No, I wouldn't move to college. Why would I move to College Station?
Well, what if that was on the board?
No, no, but David, it's great for you. David's an Aggie.
I know. We know.
He loves the Aggies.
It's home.
All right? That's what he loves. And you know what? This is great, Dave. I mean, congratulations to you and your family. You and I talked about this a while ago, and I can't be happier for you because this is what you and Elizabeth and the whole family are going to be happy. Daddy's going to be home at nights and be able to see their practices and their games, and you get to cover the team that you love. So this is it's a win-win-win for you.
Yeah, you know, people try to write your story. This is the story that I want to write for our family, and, I know from the outside people think of it, why, but it's really 100% family based, and also going with my gut. I mean, I'm joining a really good place, so we're pumped. And I'm still a member of 13 for a while, so I can't say anything controversial on your show. So I'm there till June.
Oh, you are. You're still
the end of June.
That's right. You're still going to be doing stuff for them, and you know, I'm sure we'll see a lot of Aggie reports on Channel 13 with David Nuno. That'll be great. That'll be fun.
Wall-to-wall coverage of the Aggies, the home team.
You know, we're always rooting for you, man.
I appreciate you guys so much.
All right. That's David. That's our friend. That's our friend, David Nuno. He was an original here.
That's right, David. Keep the mouse out of your mouth. Keep my name out of your mouth, David.
Maybe we shouldn't have asked him about doing cocaine.
That's right. You're always a part of the family.
If y'all wouldn't do cocaine to save your family, then I don't know what you guys would do. Okay?
Remember.
Right.
Mickey's reach is long, David. I can reach you up there.
Yeah, Mickey can.
Don't watch yourself.
I got to talk right now about being a champion. We're going from Aggies to champions, okay? That's a smooth transition right there.
Well, if you're talking about the 1940s, sure.
1939.
Okay, even earlier.
What I'm talking about now is Champion Energy. Being the best, and that's what Champion does. They are the best. You're looking for a great way to get the electricity in your home with a locally owned and operated company that you're just going to love. You're going to love them because when your contract is up, they are going to contact you and say, hey, we got a better rate. The other companies, what they're going to do is just, ooh, let's keep them on that rate. Maybe they don't notice that their contract is up. Let's just keep going and going with this rate. Champion says, no, we got a better rate for you. You're going to save even more money. Let's re-sign. Let's do another signing. All you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560 and get this kind of service. Champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right. It's 9:35 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Brought this up a little bit earlier, the guys that worked on the field and worked there for 20 years, well, 19 years, whatever it is, the Texans. How many year seasons have they had? 19? 2002 to 2019?
I think so, yeah.
19. The guys been there 19 years. They were told, I think they just got an email that said, you're no longer work here. John has an update, more information. That's all. That's what I had heard. I didn't know any of the guys. John, you know a couple of the guys, right?
Yeah, one had quit a few years ago, but one is still working for him now, or was. He, in fact, verified that he's no longer working for the team. And they didn't just do the shagging the balls. They would carry cables for the coaches so they wouldn't get tangled up in players. He actually was the guy on the sidelines that had the jersey with the X on it and carried the balls around and swapped the balls in and out. They did all kinds of jobs, driving the carts for the players, but I guess they fired the whole crew. I'm not sure yet, but I know he's.
That's what I heard too.
My buddy's gone.
Yeah,
and he's been there since day one.
Yeah, it's the first game in 2002. These guys were hired. I know a guy who facilitated their hiring. They said, "Hey, we need some guys to do all this stuff," and he helped find them. And then he said, "Yeah, they'd all been let go." In just the name, just no, you're no longer needed.
Well, I think my buddy got hired because he used to work for the Astros also, so he had background doing stuff like that. I guess probably where your friend found him, but they're gone now. And it's just weird that, I don't know, that a position like that you have to get rid of. I don't know.
Yeah. Just and bring guys. In guys that, but well, again, this organization, and we appreciate it, John. Yeah, this organization is just, I mean, it's not the same place. I mean, when I was there, and I was there for the beginning, right? So it was all new. They were uptight. They were really uptight. They wanted to make sure that they wanted their brand. They wanted to make sure the Texans was just, everything was clean and pure and wonderful. And there's no, it was a happy place. And we're just we are the shining light of sports here in the, I mean, you heard Bill O'Brien just a couple of years ago. You know, yeah, the Astros won the World Series. That's all fine, but this is a football city.
Yeah.
What?
Even diluted that late in the tenure for the Texans. I'm sure that was a thought. It wasn't just a Bill O'Brien thought.
No.
He said it because, you know, he had to. That's just his personality. But as far as the entire organization, they're probably, well, it's football season.
Yeah.
It's time to pay attention to the real deal.
Well, no, football season with the Texans forever was year-round. The Texans are the brand. The Texans are the city. We are. It's NFL. It's the shield. It's the Texans logo. We are number one in this city, and it's not even arguable. And if you want to know the truth, I mean, wife has been at Channel 13 forever. They're the station. The preseason games used to get 20 ratings.
Yeah, they were right about it.
They were right. They were the brand, and they were everything. And it was, but it did have a bit of a family feel to it. It did. And now Bill O'Brien changed a lot of that, where everybody's walking on eggshells in that building and you didn't want to make a wrong step because you were going to catch it. But now it's, you know, there's backstabbing, there's Jack Easterby and everybody, you know, there's secretaries and, I mean, yeah, you're fired. We're bringing in our people. What? Secretaries that have been there for 20 years? So that that you can't work with them because they don't owe you. Ball boys and cable runners and guys that have been doing this their whole, you know, for the entire length of the organization, you can't have them around anymore because they are not beholden to you, Jack Easterby. That place is just it's got a cesspool feel to it. It really does. It really does. I mean, you can spin it however you want, people over there, but you got rid of lifers. You got rid of people. I mean, they had the nicest people. The equipment guy couldn't have been a better person. Chris Olsen couldn't be a better person. Thank God he landed on his feet with the Falcons. There's guy, person after person over there that, you know, this is their livelihood. This was their lives. And you just come in and just ax them because they're not Team Easterby. So that crap, that whole thing is just, that to me just stinks. Just stinks that you just are playing career God over there with everybody's lives.
There, when change happens, you can reasonably expect things that directly affect the team on the field to change as far as personnel, as far as hiring guys. But to your point, I'm not sure why the people who are more administrative need to go. Like, I mean, you mentioned secretaries, John's friends. Look, if you need to remove scouts because you have a different philosophy, okay.
I get that.
All that stuff, that's football, on the field stuff that directly affects wins and losses. That's understood. Change happens, but the equipment guys got to go. Why?
Yeah.
All right, were they lackluster?
No.
Everything we heard about them after they left, loved them. We heard the players felt great about those guys. It just seems like you want to completely remove and exercise anything that's not you from the building. I don't know how you build a culture that way.
You'd think
other than just obedience and loyalty, I guess is what you're looking for.
You'd think equipment managers and people like that, like people who know the logistics of the team and how to like set up stuff for away games, all that kind of stuff, like, why would you just let somebody like that go? Because now you have to retrain somebody to do all that the way you want it. And it just seems like a waste of time.
The way you want it. You don't know anything about what those guys do. I mean, well, he was here last year, I guess. So, and, you know, he's been here. He sees, we're going to do it. We're going to pull those cables different. We're gonna drive that car different now. We're upgrading our cart driver. What? I mean, whatever. I'm so tired of this I'm so tired of this organization.
If you have rolled your eyes at the one fish, two fish, blue fish, red fish, whatever it is, gotta go.
Yeah.
If I even think you would have rolled your eyes about you me saying that.
you know what I'm saying?
God, it's so bad.
It's so bad. You know what I'm saying? I
said it during the break. And it's people are taking notice outside the market, but you stack a couple more awful seasons together, you're going to take your place as one of the worst franchises in all sports. Here we already see it. We feel like it's a thing, but I don't think it just gets mentioned casually, like when people point to the Lions or the Pats or the Jets or the football team in Washington. But we're going to get there where Texas. People are going to name them. Like, I feel Kyle McNair has a different set of problems than Donald Sterling. But the Texans are going to get a Clippers reputation fairly quickly. They're on the right track. Because remember, before Chris Paul got there, the Clippers were the biggest joke in basketball. And the Texans will get there.
Are they more Clippers or more Knicks?
The Knicks had a history that people reveled in.
Poor ownership.
Understood. But the Knicks people always felt like, man, if only the Knicks would just get it together, because they had this history that people
That's
always
true.
And they
the
had
Clippers
the guard.
Were always bad.
Yeah, the Rockets. I mean, the Rockets. The Texans don't have the Garden or the being the Mecca
job.
Or stuff.
Big bad job.
That's a great song.
No, they have Big Bad Job.
Yeah, congratulations.
Did the Clippers have Big Bad Job? No.
Yeah, they had Odin Polonese. That's their Big Bad Job.
943 ESPN 97.5. On the other side, let's talk Verlander right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Justin Verlander, he put out the tweet the other day that, you know what, he's working hard. He's not retiring, all of this stuff. He thinks he's going to be pitching for a while longer. I don't know how the insurance works, but if Justin Verlander shows up for the postseason and pitches, I think that might be voiding the insurance policy they had on him.
Mm-hmm.
But if so you're the Astros, are you going,
do you have to pay him for the entire season that way?
Slow down.
Do you have to give him...
Well, Justin Verlander is in the last year of this extension, and he's making his 33.
No, I understand that, but can't the insurance be prorated? Like, we'll pay you for...
No.
Why do we have to pay you then? Why does it come out of our pocket, the entire thing, when he only pitched in the postseason?
I don't know if that's how it works. I don't know. I tried to get information on the Astros, and they're very pretty tight-lipped about this stuff. But if he, you know, if he does come back for like the last week of the season and then the postseason, you're like, oh,
I'm not paying you for that.
Jerk.
That's prorated.
Stay, hey, Justin.
How many games did you pitch? One? What's a games check? We'll pay you that. And then the postseason, we don't pay you extra for that.
No, they're.
They don't pay him for the postseason.
No, they'll get postseason money.
Yeah, so you get your game check for the game you
pitched. No, but if he makes an appearance,
no,
insurance might be voided.
He doesn't get all 30. Directly from the Astros.
Yeah.
Insurance, you take care of most of that, except for the one game you pitched. What a terrible insurance plan, if that's how it works.
Well, I don't know how it works. All I know, yeah, I think Lloyds of London, if you play it down, sorry, ugh, he played.
That's an awful,
yeah.
That's an awful plan for the Astros.
I don't know if you're the Astro, you want him back, but if you're the, God, if Justin Verlander came back for like the last couple of weeks of the season and the postseason, does that like get you a little excited?
It makes you feel better, particularly if he comes out and looks like some version of Verlander in those maybe 2 to 3 starts he
probably
gets.
Probably won't be a starter. What about coming
as a reliever?
Coming out of the pen
as your what would you have? What would his?
How about a closer?
You'd want to make him the closer.
How about you know you screwed it up with Gerrit Cole. Maybe, you know what, Justin Verlander's sitting there. Maybe we should use that guy.
Ooh, you throw him in a role he's never been in. I could see a postseason spot for him in the bullpen, but maybe he becomes your seventh, eighth
your long
guy.
Relief guy.
I could certainly but here's the thing, is I could certainly see where, after all this time off, I'm not ready to throw 4, 5, 6 innings.
Well,
my strength isn't built up. I can come in and give you a great inning.
He mentioned that in his Zoom meeting that he did the other day, that even if he does come back like before his allotted time, like he's not obviously not stretched out, like doesn't think that he's going to be a starting pitcher if he is able to pitch during. I guess right after his recovery or at the estimated time that he's supposed to finish. But yeah, I mean, if he gives you 2, 3 innings, maybe 4.
No, I don't think you do use him that way.
Even
I think
one.
You come in, he comes in to start the 8th and then Presley in the 9th. You know, you give him just here, go get us 3 outs as, you know, best you can. Or maybe the 7th and the 8th, maybe. But he's not. These guys, especially a Verlander. You know, I remember all of these, especially guys with fastballs and hard cutters and whatnot. They got to build up a strength, and they get a lot of guys. The guys get better as the season goes along. Schilling said, forget these guys with these curveballs. I'm my strongest. I feel best as the season goes on because I've thrown so many fastballs. I'm getting stronger and stronger. These finesse pitchers that are relying on so many curveballs, they're they're weakening as the season goes on.
I mean, you saw it with Verlander and Cole whenever they were both pitching late in the season. Oh. They were hitting higher velocity towards the end of the game.
Yeah. And toward the end of the game and into the postseason, they were at their best. So I could see where he's not ready for that. Just give me an inning. Just give me three outs, Justin Verlander. Who do you want? Joe Smith.
Beat. Name any pitcher.
Okay.
Over Joe Smith. Smith should not be on the playoff roster.
He won't be on the playoff roster. He's not on the playoff roster.
I think you at least
pretty sure we got to make the playoffs, but he's not on the playoff roster.
Hey. It's only one game against the Angels.
Yeah,
they're going to be fine.
It's pretty discouraging. Carlos Correa is pretty discouraging right now.
Here we go. Look, Carlos Correa, the postseason is what I'm looking for Carlos Correa. We know, at least last postseason, that dude will show up. We're just hoping for that again in his last hurrah for the Astros.
Can you see a world where Fromber's starting game one? All right. Odorizzi is the seventh inning guy, Verlander the eighth, Presley the ninth.
So who's your rotation? Fromber, Urquidy, Javier, and McCullers? Those are your four for the postseason?
I don't know. Can you trust Odorizzi? Well, we'll see how Odorizzi comes back. But if it's got to be, Fromber.
And what about Greinke?
Fromber? Well, there's another guy.
Is it Greinke over Javier?
What about Urquidy?
Well, Urquidy's looked pretty good recently.
Yeah.
So
Fromber, Urquidy.
Is it Javier, Greinke? We know McCullers started.
Javier didn't look great his last start, but Javier and McCullers in game four. Odorizzi's in the pen. Greinke, I guess. We'll see.
Is Greinke a bullpen? I guess it depends what you want coming out of a bullpen. He doesn't appear to be a guy who can go out there for an inning and just go get you outs and get guys out like that.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, even Garcia, besides one inning last night, he looked pretty good.
So we're hoping.
No, but he's the first probably candidate to go to the back of the pen.
So we're hoping.
How about that guy in the pen, too? Guys come back now, and all of a sudden, what looks like a weakness could be a strength for this team.
You got to hope.
That bullpen could be hardy.
You got to hope that a postseason appearance happens, and then you can start moving your starters to the bullpen. All of a sudden, it looks completely different than what we're dealing with right now. The B-lacks of the world get removed. No more Joe Smith. I mean, we'll see what scrub, but if you can add Garcia and some combination of Odorizzi or Verlander, if things work out, you become... There's some questions because we haven't seen some of these guys in these roles before, but then you'd be like, it's better than what we've seen from the actual bullpen. I'd rather take the chance with Odorizzi and maybe Greinke and maybe Verlander than the likes of... I don't even want to say their names anymore.
No, I stopped saying their names. Don't say their names anymore.
All Voldemort now?
Does it give them power if you say their name?
They're all Voldemort.
No.
They're all,
just,
is B-Lac Voldemort now?
I don't want to hear B-Lac anymore. I don't want to hear Joe Smith anymore. I just don't. I mean, this is getting so, goodness gracious.
It's not my fault Dusty keeps running them out there.
I mean.
Spencer. Speaking of Dusty, Spencer's calling in. We've missed Spencer.
Oh, Spencer has got a pawpaw update, pawpaw Dusty update. Let's get it. What's up, Spencer?
He's not quite ready yet, but he's about to be. They're still putting him on hold.
There he is. Hey, Spencer, we got a pawpaw Dusty update?
There's enough negativity in the world, and Dusty's a good, he's forgotten more about baseball than I've ever known. So, he's doing his best, and, he's,
bless his heart. Why don't you just say bless his heart when you say that, okay?
Bless his heart. Well, and honestly, he put a Ledmus in right field in Yankee Stadium, which I applauded. Straw and Tucker struggled so much that, I like the idea of putting Diaz in a lineup, even if he's out of position, just to get that bat in there. So, and he's doing what he can with the bullpen, and that's why I called, because, as much as everyone loves the Raley Smith nightly combo, his hands are tied when the starters go four and five innings. You can't throw standing at Presley every single night. And so, that's why I was calling, because, I was thinking about what y'all were talking about, because if Anoli Paredes comes back healthy, and Framber comes back and Odorizzi comes back, you're starting to have a lot of quality arms. And if you can put Paredes and Luis Garcia in the bullpen to displace some of the other rack arms, you know, I think you're in a lot better shape. And, you know, as far as Verlander in the postseason, I think Greinke is clearly becoming a four, maybe a five-inning pitcher. And if you're looking at a game where you're going to say, you know what, we're going to go tandem with Verlander Greinke or Greinke Verlander, whatever order you want to put it in, that's not bad. If they can both pitch well for three or four innings in a postseason series, that's a pretty darn good pitching lineup to have two Cy Young Award winners and two possible future Hall of Famers knocking out the first seven or eight innings. So,
no.
One thing that I love about this season is 162 games. We still have a long way to go. You know, if it were another 60-game season, it'd be a lot more stressful. But, you know, just keep rocking and rolling.
Yeah. No. Listen. Fromber comes back. Odorizzi comes back. Verlander comes back. Wow. That seems like fun. That seems like it's going to be a good time. Like we talked about, what is a weakness right now could be a strength, that bullpen.
It is the Astros' way to get into a postseason and, you know, discard all your scrubby actual bullpen pitchers and use guys who could be starters to supplement it. So hopefully it takes place again, because you can't depend on the guys whose actual jobs to get people out from 7 to 9 in terms of innings. So hopefully this scenario you just laid out works. And even just getting two of those guys, particularly Verlander and maybe Odorizzi, to be part of your postseason bullpen, all of a sudden you get really scary. Now the question is, can your starters get six innings in, which has been a question depending on the guy.
Well, last night it sure would have been. I mean, we criticized him for taking guys out early. He stuck with Luis Garcia. I mean, maybe you learned something about Luis Garcia the third time through the lineup last night.
Even Raley had a pretty good inning.
Yeah, Raley had a real nice inning. You know, it was Belak that was a poor choice to follow. Yeah, that was just a poor choice. Hey, listen, like, I agree with him. He, a lot of times it's like, you want me to throw Presley every night? Is that what we need? That's the only thing we can do here? Is that it? That's the only guy we can rely on in that bullpen? And we got to throw him every night? No, I can't do that. Sorry. All right, 9:59 ESPN. Actually, it's 10 o'clock on the dot. So let's take a quick break. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on this or anything else? You're more than welcome to get in.
ESPN 97.5.